Blog Talk Radio.
Talking in
knowledge of it is always, you know, people enjoy that stuff. People always want to learn more, in my opinion. At least I do. I'm not going to be happy until I know and have been bitten by everything, so it's okay.
So we got some cool guests coming up over the, January. We got Terry Phillips coming on. We got Rico Walder. We got Will Bird. Those guys are all pretty big names in the reptile business, and it should be cool. So I'm looking forward to the next year.
I didn't get to talk to you.
So how was Hamburg?
Yes, because you and I haven't spoken in like 2 weeks on radio. Hamburg was great. Always enjoyable as always. You know, just being able to be out there with the babies and hanging out. It was, you know, it's in my element. I happen to be this Pat Hamburg show. It's just the luck of the draw. I happen to have my table right behind one of my very good friends who's a monitor breeder. So of course, you know, the entire time I'm yucking it up and doing other stuff. And then Howard and Mo came by and dropped off my new baby tiger carpet python. So, you know, of course I was oogling her the entire day.
Nice.
Jason was just down the aisle, so I was bouncing between my stand and his stand. There was an awkward moment where Jason had left to go do something and Howard was in charge of his table. And me, Mo, and Howard were contemplating making it look like a robbery and running away with zebras. But Howard's like, but it's on me. So then Mo and I had devised a plot to, you know, beat up Howard to make it look like a robbery and then just take the zebras and run. I'm not sure. I think Jason was wise because he did walk past us saying that he knows everything on the table and where it is. So, you know, it was a plan in motion, but we're working on it. So the other thing is that when Howard dropped off my baby carpet python, he also gave me a banana, like a fruit that had on it banana morph for $280. And
I saw that on Facebook.
I put that out there, and it was a joke between he and I, because like he said, if I buy the banana morph, because I think he was eating one when I was talking to him, if I buy the banana morph, he'll give me the tiger carpet for free. So he gave me the banana, and I put that thing on my table on display. I think the banana got its picture taken more times and got people looking at it more than, like, my adult jaguar that was underneath it. So kind of a kick in the pants. But a lot of people got a good chuckle out of the banana, and, you know, it may have to become a staple of my table. So it was fun.
Everybody's going to be tracking down this new banana morph now.
New banana morph. I really want to start that rumor. Have you guys heard of the banana morph carpet python? And just see how many people freak out.
Yeah. That's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Was there good traffic at the show? Or?
It was a lot of foot traffic. I didn't actually talk to that many people, though. I don't know if they were just either walking by the table. A lot of people there were, like, set on missions to go do stuff. Also, I was kind of bouncing around. So I didn't really get to talk to too many people who didn't know about carpet pythons. A lot of people knew about it and were talking to me about it. Or, like, there were return customers who were coming back around and telling me how their babies were doing and all this other stuff. But, yeah, it was, like, this is probably the first show in a while where I wasn't running into a lot of people who were, you know, I've heard about this. Can you tell me more about it? So.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but all in all, it was a good show.
Good. There's a couple things I wanted to hit on before we – our guest tonight is Chris from Headhunter Reptiles. And, I mean, they pretty much have the best jungles, the classic yellow and black, super nice jungles in the U.S. probably that you can get. And I'm ashamed to say that I don't have any of them in my collection, but there's a certain pair that I'm waiting for them to breed until I get one from them.
I don't have any either, but you have zebras and stuff, so that's inexcusable. I don't. So the second I get a zebra boy, I'm probably going to start calling up Chris, or I might even call him when I start getting in the market for a zebra. But, you know, if Jason Balin hears this now, he's going to hunt me down because I promised I'd buy the zebra from him. So we may have to keep hush-hush from this. So I'll stop talking now.
So, yeah, before we get him on, we're going to hit on a couple things. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, I mean, obviously this is real important to our hobby of USR. I touched on this a little bit last week, but the whole thing that's going on in Ohio, and I don't know if you saw the news over here in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, they had that the news clip where they went in and bought the poisonous snake. And
yes, they filmed my table for that. That was the Oaks show. I was vending. If you look at the panoram that they do twice, you can see my table see me. They were filming my adult female jaguar, and I thought, oh, crap, I'm going to turn up on this thing. It's going to be like this extremely deadly viper, and I'm going to have to call Fox and be like, you idiots. Luckily, they didn't show her. But, yeah, it is becoming, which I find hilarious, because I don't remember reading in the newspaper of any pythons or monitors loose in Zanesville, Ohio. It seemed to be a bunch of tigers.
True.
So,
but,
I don't know.
Somehow it became a reptile issue. But anyway, they sent out a link to a poll that you could go over and vote no to the Python ban. And I posted it up on Morelia Pythons, and I'm sure it's on pretty much every reptile-related website out there. Mm. But, if you're not a member of USARC, or if you are – I mean, if you're not a member, at least get on their mailing list so you can know what's going on. I mean, you know.
Right.
Agree with them, disagree with them. I mean, they're the only voice that we have right now. And I think that, I think legislators are starting to see that maybe, we are a legitimate voice. And we do contribute to the economy and all those different things. So, go over there, vote no, and get it done. And, protect the hobby. So.
And definitely support USARC, or because, like Eric said, they are our only voice, and they're the only ones keeping it that we can have these things, have these animals, have the hobby, have our businesses. I know some people feed their families this way. They're the only ones keeping us from allowing these things to happen. So any kind of support you can give USARC is always appreciated. I know those guys are always ready and willing to help out, so definitely show your support for them. If they're usually, when they have a booth at a show, they sell T-shirts. Simply buying a T-shirt helps a lot. I rock mine all the time. So.
Yep, me too.
Definitely very good.
Mm-hmm. A couple other things I wanted to touch on. I guess if you, this is on Morelia Python's forum, and we've been pushing this calendar for the past couple weeks, and they finally picked the winners.
Nice.
Go over there and check it out. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but
I have not, but I'm going to go now.
John Floyd, his New Guinea carpets are on there. Tim Tyndall, he had an inland. Luke's Red Coastals are on there, the Madame Blueberry. Actually, Luke had three of them. He had two of his Jeep green tree pythons, which is pretty cool. He had like a green Mike phase one, and then he's got this real cool one that's like red and blue and yellow, and it's got devil red eyes. That's pretty awesome. Kyle Finn, he had a striped jungle on there that's pretty much, it passed away, sadly, but it's pretty awesome. Who else? Oh, there's a Carmel Zebra on there.
Whose Carmel Zebra is that?
That's my Carmel Zebra.
What you wanted to say.
There's a couple other ones, but overall it's some cool shots. I know Kathy was really trying to push the natural setting shots, and it's a cool thing, so go over there. She goes by Insomniac 101 on the forum. Go over there, order it. I think it's $19.95 all said and done, taxes, shipping, all that stuff. So show your support.
Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures right now. They're very cool.
Yeah. And I think my Moluccan python's in there too. So.
Yeah. Cool. Wow.
So,
I guess I should
cool
have put some pictures
there
in this.
Next year, Owen. Next year.
Next year will be my year. You can get it all 12 months.
There you go. Owen's year. Speaking of cool snakes. I don't know if you saw Luke's red jag. I think this is Luke Snell we're talking about.
I did.
That's Madame Blueberry line jag.
That's crazy. I mean, he's got some of the nicest reds out there. And you and I were talking about Like, you know, because I know you and I both have red tigers. So we're talking about earlier in the show, like before the show came on, about how we would improve the try to get the brighter red in the red tigers. And I mean, I think crossing into the blueberry line would probably be the best thing to do to it. I mean, his Jags are phenomenal, and the Sibs are even they're smoking. So it definitely, I don't know what he puts in their water bowls or something like that, but they're amazing.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah. I actually have a male Jag and a Sib.
Damn it!
coming soon. And it kind of looks like the one that's in that picture.
You have
pretty
everything.
Excited about
what
that.
The hell? So,
yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Speaking of that pairing, Jason Balin, he's doing that same pairing. I mean,
yeah.
When I first looked at it, I thought he was breeding a Brettle to a red tiger. I'm like, oh my god.
That's what it looked like, but then it's like it's that red Sib he was showing off earlier this year. So it was definitely great colors. And you know, I think he's on the right ideas to get that bright red into a tiger pattern is going to be awesome. So
yeah,
it
may take him a couple years.
Yeah.
To come out, but
yeah,
he's on his way.
I think it's going to be killer when he does that. So I'm excited for that one. You know me and tiger is always good.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think me and you are the guys that like tigers the most out of
everybody
I know.
Yeah. Let's be careful. People are going to start putting tigers on their tables when I go to shows, and it's like right in front.
Yeah. So how's your season going?
Season is going well. People are carpet pythons are locking up all over the place. My caramel male is breeding in my pentel female. My red tigers are locking up. My red jag male is locking up with my big red girl. And then the secret project is running very well. And I know I told you what it is and that I promised to tell everybody. So the secret project is that I'm breeding my Ted Thompson tiger male to my caramel female. So hopefully this year I'll have some caramel tigers. I have no idea, like, how many are in the country or if these would be the first ones. I know Paul Harris produced them, and they're in the book, which was kind of where I got my idea, because I read the book, and then I'm like, holy crap, I have a tiger male that's old enough. Why don't I do this? Because I wasn't gonna breed him this year. But I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, all right. So hopefully, you know, I produce some good-looking caramel tigers. I mean, you and I both know that with tigers, it's going to take a little bit to get nice striping, but the good thing about caramel is it's co-dominant. So taking a caramel tiger that is kind of somewhat striped and crossing it with a normal tiger, you're going to get more caramel tigers that are better striped. So it shouldn't take too long to get really nicely striped caramel tigers. And then, of course, the next step is super caramel tigers.
That's going to be cool.
Oh, yeah, I'm very, very much excited about that project. And, of course, like, I'm staring at them, and they're locked up right now. So we're off and running, and, you know, hopefully we'll get some eggs, and, you know, I'll start screaming like a girl, and then we'll be good. Just got to incubate them.
I think the only other person in the U.S. that might have done that pairing is Aaron and Mark Boulay. They I've seen, if you go over on the iHerb page, they have I think they did Tiger Jag though.
Tiger Jag
somewhat
too.
Striped. Right.
Which, you know, that's that Tiger Jag, you know, there's tiger blood in there and all that stuff. I always think that it would be cooler to break it down and get the caramel tiger where you want it first, and then cross it with a caramel jag. I think you'd get even better looking caramel tiger jags. I don't know. This is just my thinking. I always want to try to get the tiger morph of whatever the hell I'm looking at. So I think
good. I'd rather see the caramel tiger than the caramel tiger jag. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't know. Right. I'll just that could be just the two of us. Everybody else might be thinking, nah, it's gonna be crappy. So, but whatever. I'll be happy. Damn it.
Forget all you. Yeah, so that's cool. That's a cool project. I hope it pans out for you, because then I'll have to buy some Caramel Tigers from you.
Yes. I'll finally have one thing that you don't. So.
Oh, that's crazy.
So, no, that's definitely right. Cool. All right.
So, yeah, I think the only thing as far as what I got, I think my IJ is Gravit. And, I was talking to Luke tonight about that, because I'm not really sure. This is my first time breeding.
Right.
She's in the shed. I've seen plenty of locks. She looks like she ovulated a couple weeks ago.
Right.
She's swollen up. She's kind of laying on her side, with her, I don't know. So, telltale signs from what I see. I talked to Nick tonight to walk me through it a bit, and, he told me to read the book.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. No, it's just, no. The complete carpet python. So I figured I'd throw that plug in there for him. If you don't have it yet, go get it.
Well, I always was, my first couple seasons, I'm like, yeah, it's whatever. I'll figure it out. And my girls were very much obvious with, being pregnant, basking belly up. I'm like, okay, eggs are coming. Last season, my lesser tiger girl didn't do anything. She's kind of mulling around her cage. I didn't even see a lock. So I'm all like, there are no eggs in there. I come down, and there are 37 of them. I'm like, holy crap. And she looked skinny as hell. I'm like, how did I miss this? So they're very good at hiding it sometimes. That or I'm an idiot who don't know what I'm looking at. So I like to stick with that they're very good at hiding it. So,
yeah, we're going to go with that. We're going to go with that.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Hopefully they're
panning out. Yeah, the IJ pairing is it's actually animals that I picked up from Luke. Which is Michael Pinnell female and his GQ male. And I don't know if you've seen some of those babies that they posted up, but they're pretty freaking sweet. So
they are very good, yeah.
I'm looking to turn you into
IJ person. Let's get me on the jungles first, and then we'll progress. Baby steps. Baby steps.
Well, that's why we brought Chris on tonight, to sway you over into
the jungles. Won't take long, but okay.
So I guess without further ado, I'll click on Chris here. And
bring him up.
We'll get it going. Hey, Chris, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Good, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right, Chris. Doing all right. Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Cool. Poured myself a cocktail, lit up a cigarette, and ready to talk some snakes, man. Let's do this.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes, apparently we do this now. Awesome. All right, well, normally we start with the classic questions that, everybody wants to know, and everybody has answers to all these questions. First one is, of course, Chris, how did you get into reptiles?
Well, let's see. That's kind of a tragic yet heartwarming story, actually. When I was a kid, like 5-6 years old, I used to like get salamanders. I live in Iowa, and there's like tiger salamanders around that you could go out and catch and stuff. So I had them in just like an aquarium, and I just had sand and a water bowl in there, kind of deal. And I needed to change my sand one winter. And back in the day, they used to have big barrels of sand, like out by the highways and stuff, or when the roads got icy and everything. And so my mom went down there and got me a pail of sand so that I could redo my terrarium. And sure enough, one of my salamanders had two in there. One of them beelined for the water bowl, but the other one did not. And it's because there was salt in the sand.
Oh, God.
So it just shriveled the one up to like nothing. Like within like an hour, it went from like a grape to a raisin kind of thing. And so my parents felt so guilty about that they took me to like a pet store like the next weekend kind of deal, and I got an iguana, and then it kind of all stemmed from that.
It's horrible. right. That's great yet horrible. So what got you into carpet pythons?
Pretty much jungled. I just really like the look of them. And me and my partner in this whole thing, Chris Keppel, have been friends for a while, and, you know, I'd kept different reptiles and stuff, dabbled in snakes a little bit, but really wanted a jungle carpet. And he was at a show in Omaha that I wasn't at, and they had this pair of them there. And he was like, oh, guys, you know, they're really sweet, blah, 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 but I can't afford the pair. You want to go in on them with me? And I was like, oh, sure. So that's basically the first carpets that we got. And there's been no looking back since, really.
Nice. All right. And your company, Headhunter Reptiles, how did you get started with Headhunter?
Basically exactly like that. Me and Keppel had that pair of snakes, raised them up, bred them. Figured we probably don't want to keep every single baby that we produce. And
it might be a good idea.
Right. So he came up with the name. I had a friend who was going to college, like doing like a graphic design type thing, who like for like part of one of his classes, like designed our website for us and drew up our logo and all that stuff. So yeah, it all just kind of stemmed from there and, you know, sold a few snakes, bought a few more. Then it got completely and totally out of hand and here we
are. Yeah, as it does. Now, Chris, is it you or the other Chris that has the awesome back tattoo with all the snakes and the jungle carpet? Or am I not even thinking about you?
No, that's not me.
Okay, never mind.
That's the other one.
Got
I have a jungle across my shoulders, but...
That's cool. All right. At least we got that.
Okay. So, okay, Headhunters, I guess we want to talk a little bit about your collection. What size collection are you working with?
Oh, right now, including all the odds and ends and stuff, we're probably looking at between 40 and 50 adults, I suppose.
Okay.
And then, of course, a pile of hatchlings and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I dabble in some other stuff, too. I'd say we're probably about 60-70% carpets, and then I dabble in some, like, rainbow boas and blood pythons and stuff like that. So.
Nice.
Okay. What are, as far as, you know, it seems like the focus of your collection is jungles. And what is it about the jungles that really catches your eye? You know, really?
Black and yellow, man. You know,
that was simple.
They're just, you know, they're just hands down like way cooler than anything else. They're just, you know, just perfect. It's just like the perfect example of what a carpet python should look like. I don't know. To me, it's like there's all the morphs and all the exciting stuff, you know. But it, to me, you have to be kind of a carpet geek to appreciate some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just have like a beautiful jungle carpet lined up with any other carpet you could possibly think of, and you didn't know what you were looking at, you would always be drawn to that jungle carpet.
That's true.
That is absolutely true. I would agree with you 100%. Especially
damn,
the jungle that you got going on. Yeah. So tell, what are some of the highlights of your collection? I know my favorites, but what would be your favorite jungle from your collection?
Boy, I don't know. That's hard to say. I'd almost feel a little guilty if I singled any one particular snake out.
don't want to start getting mad, dude.
Right. We have a holdback from Brinkley this year that I'm really stoked about, that's really coming along about as, like, perfect as I would anticipate kind of thing. It's kind of like best-case scenario so far. So I pay a lot more attention to that snake right now. We have an old female named Slash that she's actually one of the ones that we originally got back in the day, and so she's always a favorite of mine. We kind of fell into Brinkley. She is just you know, I wish I could take credit for breeding her, but I can't. But she's just phenomenal. I bought her when she was probably 3 years old, and so she's like 8 years old now, and I swear she looks better now than she did when I bought her.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Do you see that happen with jungle carpets, even improve after age that greatly?
No. Yeah.
No? That's
yeah,
awesome.
That's usually not the way it goes kind of deal. So
mm-hmm.
I was really, yeah, but her color just seems like it intensified. Like a lot of our flash line stuff is a really, like, kind of buttery bright yellow. But once they start getting old, like Flash, she's 10 years old now, it almost starts to look white.
Wow.
It almost starts to just fade completely out. But Brinkley always just kept that intensity of the yellow.
I think my favorite is Varick. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Yep.
You are.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. You haven't seen updated pictures of Varick.
Hell no. Yeah.
No, Varick's a flash baby, and he was just the bee's knees coming out of the egg, just like all of her babies just show like crazy, ridiculous contrast and stuff coming out of the egg. They just look spectacular, but they're real hit and miss. You know, for every one that's just like turbo clean, beautiful, there's another one that starts to dirty up.
Duh.
And unfortunately, Varick was one of those on the short end of that stick. He's still a cool snake. I think my qualifications for them are probably a little higher than most people's, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he picked up a little dirt along his back.
Okay. Oh, man. So, Brinkley is from the CoverGirl line, right?
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about that line for people that aren't familiar with that?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know a whole lot. I mean, CoverGirl was originally a Will Leary animal, and she was named that because she was on the cover of Reptiles magazine back in, I don't know, I think it was the early 90s at some point. And she's a really pretty snake. She was kind of tipped out. She had a lot of yellow and the black. But the male that he used in 2003 anyway, which is the year Brinkley was a nice, like German black line, I believe. And
okay.
So Brinkley in particular, like, looks like the spitting image of her dad. She doesn't really look much like CoverGirl herself.
Mm-hmm.
Her black is very solid, and the yellow is pretty bold and pretty consistent, kind of banded looking. So anytime you see CoverGirl or CVR, then they're all some sort of descendant from that one particular snake. And,
okay.
You know, there's a Hank, there's, you know, just a bunch of them that are just really gorgeous. He did a lot with that line, and so they were all, you know, 90% of them are just really nice, and then, you know, then there's some that are just exceptional kind of thing. So,
right.
That's okay.
Nice.
What other type of carpets are you working with?
We keep red lye. We have pair of diamonds, we got some diamond crosses, I got some jag stuff, I have like a pure coastal jag, and a couple other jags. I'm trying to think. We don't really mess with anything brown, so I don't have any IJs or coastals or things like that. We try to avoid the earth tones whenever possible.
No
but,
love for the dark side.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you're not going to get a very unbiased point of view tonight.
Got it. Check. All right, done. Awesome. Chris, can you give us a basic rundown of how you keep your carpets, you know, temps, what cages you guys use, how do you guys feed, what do you feed, how often, all that fun stuff?
We pretty much keep everything exclusively in, like, AP cages.
Okay.
They're out of Des Moines, which is about 40 miles from me, so I can just go pick them up already, like, pre-assembled and stuff.
That's
you don't
nice.
Have to mess with shipping and putting them together and all that stuff. I've been friends with Mark and Allie, the people that own that, for a long time, since they used to own a little pet store and stuff. So I've known them, like, long before they were ever building cages and everything. So I've been real, real happy with their stuff, and he's just a real good guy. And he's one of those guys that'll, like, bend over backwards for you kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
He does everything with the idea of keeping it as cheap as he can for his customers and stuff like that. So I should probably give him a call and tell him he owes me some money after talking about him. But that's all we use. As far as temperatures and stuff, I think it's pretty straightforward. From what I've heard other people say, I don't think I keep my stuff as warm as most people. I have just regular Herbstat night drops, and I keep my basking temperature at 84 degrees, and then just room temperature, obviously, through the rest of the room. Like this time of year when I'm breeding, then I do a night drop where I drop 10 degrees at night, and that's about it. I'll warm them up. If I know I have a gravid female, I'll bump their basking spot up to like 88, 89 degrees, but other than that, I keep them fairly cool. But I have like bloods and rainbows and stuff too, so I kind of
keep them uniform. Cool.
All
right.
Yeah, I think that was it for that question, right?
No, I think so. I was going to say you feed them just like you. Now I know you got jungle.
Feed them.
And it's,
I don't feed them that often either.
Oh, all right, cool. That's our next question.
Actually, I used to feed everything once a week, and I still feed all my hatch and stuff once a week, except for breeding season, of course. I cut everything back or whatever shuts off. But I was getting drunk with Terry Phillips one night in Chicago a couple years ago, and he was just, like, telling me about how, like, little he feeds his snakes, and it just made, like, total sense to me at the time. So I've cut way back on my adults to where I feed them, you know, twice a month if they're lucky kind of deal, but that's about it.
Nice.
I was like, wow, you know, Terry says that's cool, and it sure feels better on my rodent bill every 3 or 4 months.
I have to say,
months,
the rodent bill is awesome now. Now, I know it's tricky to switch carve a python babies, and I know jungles are kind of notorious for being addicted to mice sometimes, and I only ever feed my hatchling rat pups, like right out of the egg to get rat pinks. What do you do for your baby jungles?
That's what I do, too.
Yeah.
Kind of along the lines of everything else, I'm about as lazy as humanly possible as far as feeding baby snakes. I usually go in, you know, they're in a tub with a water bowl and a paper towel and a perch, and usually if I go in there before, like, my lights go out, then they're usually under the paper towels, and I just throw a thawed rat pink on top of the paper towel, and then come back a couple hours later and see who ate and who didn't. And I've had actually pretty good success with that. And then, like, I talk to Sloop all the time. I don't know how many hours of our lives we've wasted, like, with all the weird little gimmicks of what to do to try to get a baby snake to eat and stuff like that. But that's, like, seems to work the best with me. And then once I get them to where they've taken, I don't know, 8-10 meals kind of deal, then I'll try to, like, actually just present the meal to them on tongs just to make sure they'll eat that way. Just because, you know, if people are buying a snake, they want to see it, like, strike and wrap kind of deal. So.
Right.
And then if I have stubborn feeders, I'll try mice. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. I'm not a real big, like, freak-out person on mice. A lot of my adult jungles eat mice. And even if they would take a rat, I feed them mice. Just because that's just convenient for me, I guess. I don't know. But
right.
I always have to have, like, adult mice around. Like, Slash, our old female, you know, 2001 snake, she's probably 7 foot. She's never ate a rat in her life.
Jeez.
So I have to have mice around for her. So then basically, you know, a jungle gets a certain age, and it's like, well, I don't really have the right size rat, so I just start feeding up mice.
Okay. All right. Now, can you give us a rundown on how you, like, what do you guys do for breeding? I know every breeder has their own kind of tips, tricks, and whatever works for them. So what works for you guys?
Right. I think a lot of what works for us is just by default, just because of where we live, just in the
mm-hmm.
Midwest, because we get such a drastic temperature extreme, whether we want it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in the summers, my reptile room, you know, the ambient temperatures are close to 80. You know, even if I run like a air conditioner and stuff, I have to fight to keep them in like upper 70s kind of deal. And then this time of year, you know, just the opposite, I'm fighting to keep it in the low 70s. So I think that just natural variance helps a lot. And like I said, I put them on a, starting, you know, sometime in November, I set up my night drop so that my temperature's dropping 10 degrees at night anyway. So then they're getting down to room temperature at night, but they can go to the heat if they want. But I find with carpets, they don't really, like, aren't really drawn to the heat. Like, I have a couple things, you know, set up with the fancy, like, nice radiant heat panels and everything, and I don't really see them drawn. I see them trying to get away from heat more than I see them, like, trying to bask.
Okay.
So we do that, and then my reptile room is set up to where all the lights are set with the photo period that it is outside. So whenever sun up is on any given day, that's when my lights come on, and whenever sun down is, that's when my lights shut off.
Okay.
And I don't know if that, you know, so there's a pretty drastic change in light cycle through the course of the year, and I don't know. That just seemed like it was something kind of neat to do. I don't know if it really helps or doesn't, but it seems kind of cool when you say it.
Right. So why not?
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know
right.
if that really helps or not. I think carpets in general are pretty easy to breed. So mm-hmm. I think very subtle changes are about all it takes to trigger them.
Okay.
I hear people doing some pretty drastic things, and I've never found that to be necessary, but I don't know if that has something to do. You know, if I lived in Arizona or something, I don't know if I'd have to fight it a lot harder than I do.
Right.
Hmm. You know, you up the temps when she ovulates, the female?
I up the temps, yeah, when I'm sure they're gravid.
When you're sure they're gravid?
See, like,
okay.
I mainly do jungles, and it's hard to catch an ovulation sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But basically what I do is I throw my pairs together, let them cool down, quit feeding them, and then come, like, early February, I bump my temperatures back up. I take my night drops off, and then I wait to see what my female's doing. Sometimes I catch them ovulate, sometimes I don't.
Okay.
But if they go into a shed cycle and they shed and they don't eat, then I'm convinced that they're gravid.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'll bump my temperatures up, throw a nest box in the cage.
So it happens. Right.
So, yeah, basically the only way I know for sure if I don't see them ovulate is if they shed, and they won't eat after they shed. For me, that's pretty much the foolproof method to know whether they took or not.
Okay. Now, for the light cycle, I know you're talking about your lights that they turn on at sunrise. Do you think that the light cycles are important for reproduction process? Because I know there's some people who just kind of, you know, turn the light.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I don't know.
I mean, I think there's a lot of people that just, you know, keep snakes in tubs and, you know, so they don't have any light per
mm-hmm.
se. And I don't know if just the natural daylight that's coming into a room kind of thing would affect it or not. Like I said, I do it, but I don't really know if it matters.
Right.
I would, you know, I can't imagine if you were doing everything like temperature-wise to where they had a temperature change that they could notice, you know, and you knocked them off feed and stuff, that I can't imagine the light cycle being that big of a deal. But like I said,
right.
I got a cool little gimmick from low, so that's what I do.
Got it.
You keep your pair together the whole season?
Yeah.
Or you separate? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Every once in a while, I separate them if I want to try to feed. Usually this time of year, all my males will kick off feed. They won't eat whether I wanted them to or not. But sometimes I'll go ahead and feed the females. But for the most part, I throw them together in November and separate them out in February and see what happens.
Cool. Now, have you done a maternal incubation, or have you not tried
yet? No, I've never had the balls to actually do that. I mean,
yeah, don't worry, me either. So
it seems logical, and it's
right.
You know, I know, like, some friends of mine that do it, Jeremy Kay from the forum, like, does it, like, religiously, and, you know, never has any problems, and blah, 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 and everything's perfect. I freak out about humidity more than anything. I just don't, you know, apparently, you know, they'll kind of, like, do some, you know, leave a little urates and stuff and kind of control the humidity themselves a little bit, but where I'm at, you know, in March, you know, when I'm getting some eggs sometimes, it's still pretty cold here, so in turn I'm running heat in my rooms and everything's just dry naturally.
Right.
And, you know, I can't imagine, like, misting snakes down why they had eggs, but I don't know. I just, like I said, I haven't had the guts to do it yet, but I'm sure maybe someday.
So you do artificial incubation, and how do you set up your eggs for that?
I have a very wonderful animal plastics incubator that I use, and then I just put them in egg boxes with Hatchrite. I've tried, like, vermiculite and perlite, no substrate and all that stuff. I just never had the kind of success I wanted. My original incubator really sucked, too, so that was part of it. But I basically, that Hatchrite to me, if you buy it fresh, like, don't, like, use it if it's been laying around for a year kind of thing. But if you buy it fresh, like, within a month or two of when you actually plan on using it, it's kind of like snake incubating eggs for dummies kind of thing, which is perfect for me. So I just throw the eggs in there and let them go.
Nice. I've not used Hatchrite. I may have to look into this now. If it's really catching eggs for dummies.
You don't add any water to it at all. You just throw it in there and put the eggs on it. And then it's some weird, it kind of looks like it has some kind of, like, stringy, like, cotton candy looking stuff. Like, kind of looks like perlite with little stringy stuff in it.
Yeah.
And it just releases moisture throughout the course of it, I guess. I don't know.
Weird.
But no, my eggs stay fuller and everything with that stuff than anything else I've used.
All right, maybe I'll have a test box this year with, like, you know, some pair that I don't really care about. So, yeah, maybe we'll do a test box with the Hatchrite.
There you go.
Not the good stuff.
What are you keeping the eggs at?
I incubate mine at 88 degrees.
Okay. Do you find you get more boys than girls that way? Because my past couple clutches have been a lot of boys, and I keep it at, like, 87.
Yeah, normally we're male heavy. This year, we were not. I just think it's dumb luck that I'm male heavy a lot. This year,
right.
We were actually a little on the good side, so we had a few more females than we did males. But, yeah, I haven't noticed any, like, kind of gecko stuff or anything where certain tips bring out certain sexes or anything.
Okay, good. Just checking.
One of the things that, you know, I'm always interested in is how you guys can tell, you know, this jungle carpet python that's, like, gray and black and, you know, as this baby turns into this yellow and black beautiful animal. And I was looking at your site, and you had a blog over there, and it was called The Progression of a Headhunter's Jungle. Can you walk us through your experiences, what you're looking for, or, you know, what are some things that stick out to you of what you would look for a holdback?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, 90% of it's like dumb luck. You know, we're wrong just as often as we're right. We kept that Brinkley female that I was talking about earlier, and actually, like, Keppel picked that one out, which is kind of shocking. And that one turned out super duper nice. And then, like, we had, like, a different clutch of jungles that we picked one out, and not so much. So it's kind of a crapshoot. We look for pattern. You know, we kind of assume that the yellow is going to do what it's going to do. I mean, people tell you, like, contrast, and people tell you, you know, you want to see this and you want to see that, but it's kind of, I don't want to like step on Sloop's toes, but it's kind of BS. It's just kind of it's more dumb luck than anything else. You know, I've hashed out a couple hundred jungles probably, and I don't see, I mean, if there's something really cool about the contrast where it's just dramatically different than any other one, then, you know, sure, that one's going to, I'm going to lean more towards that one being a holdback. But, like I said, half the time I'm right with that and half the time I'm wrong. So, what I look for myself personally is the black. The black, you can tell if it's going to get any tipping in it or not. So if I see any hint of, like, yellow coming into the black at all, then I don't keep that snake. But
okay.
That's just a personal preference more than anything else. Otherwise, we basically just pick on pattern. Like, oh, that
okay.
one, you know what I mean?
Right.
That one yellows up, that's going to be a wicked snake, you know, that kind of deal.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's cool. I'm sorry?
I was going to say, is there a certain point when you know, like, how old are you looking at when you start to really see the color and whether or not you picked the right one?
It varies, but usually within 6 months, I can tell.
Okay.
You know, by the time they're 6 months old, I can tell if they're going to be, you know, with the pairings we do, I don't really throw, like, any turbo duds kind of thing. But you can tell which ones are going to be a lot. They just keep clean, and they just brighten up a little bit quicker. And every shed, you know, you just see like a and a good thing too is like a really nice jungle when it's in shed still looks good.
Hmm.
Like
okay.
a jungle in a shed. If it looks real dirty and stuff, that's not, like, a good sign. But, like, a jungle that is in shed but still looks clean, just looks a little milky.
Right.
Then that's a good sign. But when people, oh, it's in shed, you know, so it looks like crap, it's kind of like, well, you know, that dirt isn't going to shed off. You know, it might be yellow rot, it might brighten up, but it's still going to have that dirt on it.
Okay.
So that's another thing that you can kind of look for, too. I would just soon pick... If I was buying a jungle, I would just buy one while it was in shed as opposed to, like, seeing it in fresh skin.
Okay. Huh. Interesting. What kind of pairings are you doing this year? Anything cool on the horizon? Or?
We got a couple cool things. I'm trying to do my slash female back to one of her offspring again. I tried that last year. And she did everything but lay eggs. I could have swore she was gravid. And then she just never did anything. I don't know. You hear people talk about reabsorbing follicles and all that kind of crap. I don't know if that actually happened or if I'm just totally misread her or what. But so we're doing that one again. I have a really bright, nice Andrew Hare highlighter male. From, he must be like an 07. I'm going to throw him in with my Jag and see if I can do some jungle jags that way. See if I can intensify the yellow a little bit. And then we have a male zebra from Jason that I got in with my nightshade female right now. And so that... would be kick-ass if it worked out. We will see.
Nice.
He's a really, really nice zebra. As far as, like, anything else, actually the pairing I'm most excited about is Amanda Kay from the forum brought, like, a flash female from us quite a few years ago. I think she's, like, an 06, but is one of the best jungles we ever produced. And then she got a Brinkley male from us a couple, must have been 2 years ago, it's an 09, and she's putting that pairing together. And that's kind of like, if we would have held the right snakes back, that would have been like the perfect pairing for us to do.
Huh.
Of course, we sold them. Yeah, she obviously has a better eye than me, but she's probably the coolest chick on the planet, so I'm not too jealous. But I'm more anxious kind of to see what she's going to do with those jungles than any of the jungle stuff I'm doing. And then Jason begged and pleaded. I think he was actually on his knees at one point to take Brinkley with him.
That is not how he tells it. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah,
so.
I know. I heard that. That's why I wanted to make sure I was here to set the record officially straight on that whole deal.
The way he tells it, you like threw it at him. So
right, exactly. No, yeah, that isn't quite the way it worked out. So he's got her, and he's going to try to breed his male zebra into her. So we got a couple zebra things going, which I'm kind of excited about. We picked up a female zebra from him this last year, too. So I kind of want to see if you can clean those things up, the super zebras, if you can clean them up or not.
They're patternless. What's left to clean? So.
Right, but the yellow seems like it gets a little bit of a dinge to it.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to see that. I want to see this, like, turbo bright yellow without a speck of anything else on it. So
excellent. Well, hopefully you do well with that. I'd love to see those.
Yeah. But, yeah, it seems like with what he did, just with one generation, he bred them into, like, CBR stock, and just, like, the first generation showed, like, a market improvement as far as the zebras went, I thought.
Nice.
So I'm confident that it's possible. It's kind of like that's the cool thing about carpets is the variability and stuff, and you can always, like, strive to make the perfect snake and never get there, but it's kind of like part of the fun, I think.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I'm definitely looking at zebras this year, so I'll let you guys know. But,
okay.
So, for now, Eric already asked you what the favorite carpet in your collection was.
Right.
Do you have any, if you could have any carpet in your collection, what would it be if you could add anything?
We've been kicking around for a couple of years. We'd really love to get like a pair of Inlands. That would probably be my next significant like carpet purchase kind of thing. We toyed around with it this year. We were really hopeful that Terry was going to produce some.
Mm-hmm.
And then that didn't work out. And so, I mean, we were kicking around. You know, like Caponetto and Kerry King did some kind of joint thing where they produced some. And so we were kicking around getting some. And then I don't know who it was, but there was somebody on MP that had a pair of adults for sale.
Yeah.
Like a month or so ago. And, man, I was so tempted by that. But that'll be the next thing. That's another one.
Okay.
It's that pretty blue-gray color.
That is nice.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Wicked looking.
All right, so if you could have any non-carpet python species in your collection, what would it be? Aside from, like, yeah, I know you have rainbow boas. We're talking something else that you already don't have.
Right. I really like, it's kind of weird, but I really like motley Argentine boas.
Wow.
I messed with Argentine boas a few years ago. And they have, like, motley ones now that are just, like, wicked cool. They have kind of a bluish, like, hue to them as well. Mm-hmm. And they have, like, that cool, like, circular pattern down their backs. So I'd love to do those. I'd love to get into some of the higher-end blood python morphs, like the golden eyes
nice.
And the magpies kind of stuff. I think those are pretty killer.
Cool.
So. Yeah, anything within reason kind of deal. Obviously, like Golems or something like that would be awesome, but, you know, there's no way I could ever be the one to figure out how to breed those things consistently. So it's kind of a high-priced pet.
Yeah, let's avoid that. So that's cool.
Okay. What? We're going to talk a little bit about the carpet python market.
Did you lose your place? Wait.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm over here looking at, you know, Owen.
Everybody's picking on you over here in the chat.
What?
I mean, they're just killing you.
Is Jason over there? Is Jason over there? I will find him.
They're killing you, man. And I told him
that
you were going to cry.
I'm on my way right now. The crap out of people.
You know, you pretend Jason. He's not selling you a zebra now. He's going to sell it to me. And, you know, that's a done deal. So.
Damn it.
So I'm sorry. I lost my place there for a second.
Great. Now I got to deal with this.
That's one thing I have to say. Like, carpet people seem to be, like, far and above, like, way cooler than other snake people.
I mean,
Jason is probably one of the nicest guys you could ever meet in your life.
We all love you, Jason. Please stop it.
I like, you know, like, Sloop is like a grandfather to me. I think I got a bit of a man crush on Luke. You know, like Jeremy, like half the guys on the forum, you know, I just really get along with. Those Carpet Row guys are like a great bunch of guys.
Yeah, I would
totally
agree. Yep.
Show is totally debunked now. It's gone.
Yeah. So I guess with the, you know, we get into this talk a little bit every time we get on, have people on that, you know, and I think when I was talking to Luke before that we were sort of talking about, you know, people that have sort of that niche market. And I think you guys over there at Headhunters have that, you know, jungle. So, I mean, you guys are the guys that have some that classic-looking jungle. So do you find that the market is good or is bad or, you know, where do you see it right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hear a lot of people talking about how kick-ass our jungles are, and then they, in the same breath, they say that they don't have one. So it's kind of hard to hard to judge. No, I mean, I think it's fine. I mean, right now is just such a crappy time to be, you know, like trying to like sell like high-end stuff. Like our like jungles are priced at like the top end of what jungles go for kind of deal. And they're so all over the map. And, you know, you can see jungles on Kingsnake, you know, that look exactly like our jungles when they're 2 months old, but they're $75 kind of thing.
Right.
And just with the economy and stuff, you know, the last thing you're going to buy if you're worried about money is a snake.
Right.
You know, we're just, you know, we consider ourselves like hobbyists, or, you know, but we're just like collectors, you know. So,
right.
You know, we're just like stamp collectors or any other like weird antique people or something, you know, we just keep snakes instead kind of thing. But it's like you see, you know, it's all impulse buying kind of stuff. And so, I think it's fine.
Okay.
I think it'll bounce back. And, you know, the morph stuff kind of worries me a little bit just because I see, you know, like when I started getting into reptiles and stuff, you know, like actually owning just like a plain old normal ball python was actually kind of cool. And now, you know, what are they, like $15 or something? I think you can buy a normal ball python for if people won't just give them to you just to quit.
Dude, they like give you – they give you like $6 for $10 because like they're selling them as cobra food at some shows. It's okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I worry a little bit about that with the carpets just because, you know, our niche is kind of the jungles and it's just like, oh, well, if all these fancy morphs come along, then is a jungle just going to be like a normal carpet, you know? So that, you know, it doesn't keep me up at night or anything, but that's crossed my mind. And but I think we're fine.
I think so. I think, though, that with you know, like you said earlier in the show, I think the one thing that you guys won't ever have to worry about is, I mean, the morphs are cool, and I think, you know, I like them. And, but I also, I mean,
obviously,
like, just the regular subspecies as well. I mean, to me, what makes the morph cool is it's a morph, but I can also appreciate the regular, you know, jungle carpet and coastal carpet. And,
yeah.
But, like you said earlier, I think if you're at a show and I have this snake that I have to sort of convince you of why it's, you know, why this is a good snake to have, you know, because it's het this or, you know, it's got this gene and this gene, and it's not going to be anything close to that person that sees a carpet python that's yellow and black and it's bright yellow, and, you know, they're going to say, what are they going to go for? They're going to go for that super nice jungle carpet, you know.
wouldn't it be that the normal forms are kind of like a floor for the prices? You know, when I gauge my prices based on a really good looking normal will be this price. So my morphs should never drop below that price. Like, you know, an excellent looking sibling is, you know, 100 something bucks. So you never drop below your normal price. So, but people can still appreciate what a good looking normal is. So I don't know if we're going to get down as far as, you know, ugly ball pythons, because I hate them. So it's enough now. I'm done ranting, I promise.
That's a pretty good carpet consensus. People that are into carpet seem to be like very stereotypical hate ball pythons. When we did that carpet row and stuff, you know, it was like, oh, it's so nice not to see a ball python on a table kind of deal, you know. I guess Dale Huffman was there. I think he had some balls, so he kind of ruined the whole thing, but he was on an end. So,
oh, man. So I guess what so you think with the dawn of the new morph that you're a little worried that the classic the subspecies are going to be forgotten about. Do you see that is going to get more people into the market, into the carpet python market?
That could very well be. I mean, your little spiel that you just told me where you reminded me of what I said 20 minutes ago kind of convinced me that what I just said was kind of BS. So I feel much better about it after listening to you tell me what I said. So I think, I think for the most part we're fine. You know, the deal with carpets as opposed to like balls is they just have much bigger clutches and, you know, and with the codon stuff especially, you know, those prices are just going to, like, go down substantially, you know, just like what happened with jags and what's going on with zebras now. But, I mean, as long as you're smart, you know, we gave Jason, like, a boatload of money for our original zebra. But, you know, we knew going in that there wasn't going to be anything near that by the time we could produce them. But, you know, as long as you're, like, not thinking that way and, like, oh, geez, you know, this snake was X amount of dollars, so if I can produce 10 of them the first year, then, you know, all of a sudden I've got just like a boatload of money. As long as you're smart about it and don't freak out.
Yeah.
I think you're right. And like you said, in some ways it can help, you know, like the zebra market should, in theory, like help us with just making regular jungles. You know, if people want to improve their zebra line, you know, then they'll look for a little nicer quality jungle. It's hard to say. You know, with the jags, it's just when they first came out, people were breeding them into anything with ovaries, and, you know, it kind of showed, you know, the first couple generations of them, you know, except for those freak things that Sloop does, you know, were kind of disappointing, I thought, you know, compared to, like, you know, the ones that Will Leary was showing pictures of in magazines and stuff.
Right.
But
right.
Now they've kind of come along, you know. Those crazy-ass jungle jags that Mo does are just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's another one. That's another perfect example of somebody that, you know, she has this niche market of, I mean, you need sunglasses to look at her jungle jags. I mean, Jesus Christ, can you imagine that as a zebra?
You know, tigers are pretty damn good, too.
I mean,
yeah, so I mean, if you can, you know, if you can create that yourself kind of thing, it's kind of like, that's the fun part. It's kind of like John and his gamma jags, you know, those are like the most wicked jags, like hands down in my opinion. And, you know, we've toyed with getting one a couple, three times, but for the fun of it, for us, it's kind of like being able to do it ourselves. So it's kind of buying a gamma jag is kind of like cheating, you know.
Yeah,
it's like I want to try to mix the ingredients together to make something like it, but not use it to do it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's just like the fun of it. It's like stupid, I suppose, like market-wise and stuff like that. But as far as just like for the fun of it kind of thing, that's what I enjoy doing.
Right.
My next question was going to be what would you recommend to people just getting into wanting to breed carpets? And you just made me think of a point of that myself I did. I mean, you're going out there and you want to get the best of, you know, of each type of, you know, if I wanted tigers,
I went to Jason Bale, and when I wanted, you know, Bruttles, I went to Nick Martin. When I went to, you know, and I tried to get Jungles, you know, but the ones that I wanted, I don't think the Clutch Took or whatever, but, you know, Jungle Jags, I'm going to Mo, you know, those type of things. And I think that's how I based my collection of trying to get, and then trying to produce things that people wouldn't put together and see what happens.
Right.
But what would you
recommend? Yeah, I've seen some of the weird shit that you're trying to do, and that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. What you're doing.
Yeah.
Owen calls me Dr. Frankenstein, but.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, this is like 25% everything. Oh, well,
right.
All right then.
Which, you know, once you carry it out far enough, will be pretty wicked, you know, when you start bringing stuff together, just coming up with 15 different things in one clutch kind of thing.
Yeah.
That would be
pretty gonna
cool.
It's going to be nuts.
So what would you recommend to somebody that's just getting into one to maybe start a collection of carpets? What would be your recommendation to them? Besides buy from Headhunter Jungles.
Yeah, geez, that's pretty much it. That's all I got.
Okay.
No, I mean, you know, just go for what you like, you know. Just whatever looks cool to you kind of thing. Like some people, you know, like Luke and stuff, I still think he's doing it just to, like, be different. But, you know, he's all about, like, the IJs and stuff. So, I mean, there's just different things that different people like.
Right.
So it just kind of depends. But, I mean, you know, you can get into it at any point. You know, it's cool to just start with, like, a couple of, you know, IJs or a couple of jungles or, you know, a couple of coastals kind of deal. Or you can, like, you know, jump in and grab, like, the latest morph and try going that way with it. But I think there's, like, a lot of misnomers out there about carpets. You know, like 90% of the people that come up to us at like shows and stuff are always worried about them like biting them and stuff like that. Really, you know, 95% of my carpets, you know, once you get past like the initial feeding response, you can just pull out of the cage and, you know, they're just, I don't know, they're just like the perfect snake. They don't hide in a box. They are just wicked-looking display animals, and like I said, you know, they're pretty much as tame as anything else I got. I'd be much more worried about getting bit by, like, a Woma or something than I would a carpet python.
Right.
Right.
They're good display because they perch pretty nice if you give them something to lay on, so they're very cool.
Right. Yeah. And whenever I've had
a
whip, and I put a hide in, they'll, like, just lay on top of the hide. They won't actually go inside.
Yeah. You can see it. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
I think, you know, as far as the market, another thing that I think that carpet pythons, maybe they don't overlook, but I've never really heard anybody really talk about it, is that, you know, you're going to get that person that just really doesn't care about breeding snakes, and they just want to keep snakes. And that's a whole other market to where, you know, I think would be better for us, carpet python people, than say a ball python person, where the ball python's going to hide in the hide where you're going to see that carpet python out on the perch.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you
right,
just want
right.
like a pet snake or something like badass sitting in your living room, then you definitely want like a carpet over like a ball python.
Yeah, we can all agree, ball
absolutely.
Pythons suck. So, the general
right,
consensus. Bastards. All right.
So what was your experience with Carpet Row? What did you think of that? What was your thoughts on how that went down?
I love it. I think it's like the best thing ever. I mean, when we first started doing Tinley, I don't know, 5-6 years ago or whatever, and, like, Will Leary would be set up there, and Matt Turner would be set up there, and, like, maybe Anthony Caponetto would be set up there, but we'd all be, like, spread out all over the place. And it's kind of like, you know, the whole point of doing that show for us anymore is just, like, the social event of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If we sell a couple, three snakes, then sweet, you know, but I'm not really there for that kind of thing. And so before, it's just like, you know, you go to talk to other people that are into the same thing as you are, you know, and you'd have to leave your table and you'd have to tramp through the crowd And you'd be like bugging them because they'd be trying to sell somebody a snake or something, you know, and it'd just be kind of annoying. And, you know, you'd go out to dinner or something afterwards, but it's just cool at the show just to have everybody there right in a row. Like I said, you know, like Luke and John and Dale and pretty much everybody. I mean, Sean, the website guy, and Brian Hummel were there. And I'd never met them before. I guess I'd met Brian Hummel a couple, 3 years ago because he does rainbows too. But you know, they were great people too. But, I mean, just like all those other guys, we've just become friends through this whole thing. So it's just like a chance just to hang out with them, you know, and just do stupid stuff and, you know, drink too much and that kind of thing. That's what makes it perfect. You know, I don't really know if it's good for us, like, as far as, like, selling snakes, you know, if there's, like, 300 carpet pythons all right there. I don't know if somebody's buying a snake from somebody else as opposed to buying from us, but I don't really care about that. It's kind of like the social aspect of it all. So, yeah, I think it's awesome. And we're going to be, like, I know I'm going to be setting up at Tinley again at this little spring thing. I'm not really sure what that's like. We've never tried to do one in the spring before, in March or whatever. And it seems like I have Jason and Luke talked into coming too. And I imagine Dale seems like he's got money coming out of his butt, so it won't really matter if he'll come. And Jeremy lives right there in town, so I'm sure he'll be there. And Sloop, I'm sure I can at least get him to come down for a day. You know, he's like, oh, I only got one gamma jag left, and I'm not sure, you know, if it'd be worth it. But, you know, he makes as much on that as I do on four jungles, so he might as well come down and set up for one snake.
Yeah. Well, I'll be there. I just won't be vending. I'll just be wandering around, probably buying things and shooting down whatever money I've saved thus far.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna head out.
We do have like a backstage pass for Carpet Row for like $50, where we'll actually like walk behind the table and hang out with them
Eric,
for a while.
Eric's gonna cover that because that's gonna be press passes. So Eric will take care of all that for the show, right, Eric?
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
There you go.
I'll take care of
you get all kinds of like.
Wait a minute. Backstage by Carpet Row, the other side of the table, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. So you're headed out to Tinley in March. That's cool. What else do we got to hit on here, Owen?
What's the matter? What I do? Oh,
I'm trying to think of what else we have to hit on here.
Well, I got
I
got right here that do you have any tips for switching jungles from mice to rats? Like, if somebody really, really, really wants the jungle to go on rats. Because I know you said you
never
feed them
a mouse.
Yeah, never.
That's pretty much my advice. Just never feed them a mouse in the first place. And then you won't have to worry about it. But a weird thing, because me and Keppel actually live a couple hours apart right now.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we'll just, like, flop some snakes around. I'll be like, oh, you're going to, why don't you try breeding this into that kind of thing. That's over at your place. I'm going to bring this over to your place kind of thing. And I've had some mouse eaters that, like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the drive. I don't know if it's the change in scenery or whatever, but something will trip him because he never has trouble. Like, he'll offer him a rat and they'll take it. Where I'll offer him a rat and, you know, if they're hungry enough, they'll strike and wrap it, and then drop it immediately once they figure out what it is. But, so I don't know. It seems kind of weird, because we just kind of like made that correlation recently, that it's like, wow, that's weird, whenever something goes from one place to another.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it makes absolutely no sense. But I don't know, if you have one that won't, I might take it on a couple-hour car ride and bring it back, throw it in a different cage, see what it'll eat.
Nice. Why not? Okay. I do have a question that has appeared on the general discussion here. Jason would like to know if you're actually allowed back into Tinley. That's Jason Balin, by the way. I don't know what happened at Tinley, or so I think he can turn.
Yeah, I think I can probably get in. I probably don't want to get pulled over by any local law enforcement while I'm in Chicago or the state of Illinois in general. But, yeah, I'll be, I think I can get through the doors.
Nice.
So we got to Tinley. So, you know, there'll be Chris with a bandana and a fake mustache over there in the corner. So
exactly.
Yeah, so I'll have to watch. All right.
That's awesome.
Well, Chris, what do you do for record keeping? Like, I know there's some people who are really, like, right on the top on the ball with their record keeping, and then there are people like me who, not really. Do you use iHerb or do you things like that for your records?
Yeah, I'm fairly religious. Until, like, recently, I actually need to go in there and do that. But I'm fairly religious on iHerb with the stuff that we're selling.
Mm-hmm.
So any hatchlings I keep, they're like shedding and feeding records on iHerb. As far as my adult stuff or anything that I'm keeping, I don't bother because, you know, it's of no real interest to me when the last time they ate was. You know, I kind of know just naturally. And nobody ever asked me, oh, when's the last time that breeding female of yours ate? So... But as far as, like, the hatchlings, I do try to keep pretty up-to-date on that iHerb thing. It just kind of depends on when I have time because it's, you know, if you have, like, 60 snakes or something that you're trying to put in, like, feeding records, it can be kind of tedious. So
yeah. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. Now, we, like, the ones we sell, like, on our website, we actually have a little link up to, like, their individual iHerb page that'll show when they hatched, you know, their parents, all that, blah, blah, blah. So I heard
all the things
kind of
people want to see. Yeah.
Right.
You find that people really like that, or do you think that that's just something?
No, I mean, oddly enough, I would think that that would be, like, something that would be cool. You know, if you were buying a snake, you know, like, if I was buying a snake and someone had all their records, I'd definitely go check them out. But I really don't find that people could give a rat's either way, so that's kind of odd. That's kind of why I've gotten a little lazy on it the last couple months, just because it's weird. I do all this, and then nobody really seems to follow up on it. I mean, there's a few people, you know, that are, you know, religious about that kind of stuff, but for the most part, I'm like if someone buys one from a show, you know, I'll be like, oh, you know, here's my card with the website. You can look this snake up in the sold animal section. You'll be able to see all its records and stuff, and that's kind of
they don't care.
Right.
It sucks.
Awesome.
Did you have anything else you wanted to hit on with this one, or? I'm at the bottom of my page here.
Oh, and you ran out of stuff to say.
I did.
I'm
not allowed to.
You're not allowed to what? Alan?
What?
Are you there?
I'm not allowed to.
Are you there?
I'm right here. I'm right here, I swear. I'm not allowed to ask my own question. Eric has to type them up and send them to me because he's worried I'm going to, like, fly off the handle or do something stupid. So now I sit and watch to see what the people on the forums say about that one. Nothing yet. Okay.
That's true.
But no, I guess, Chris, how would people get in touch with you if they want to get a hold of you for either looking at jungles, buying jungles, or going onto your website? I know it's headhunterreptiles.com.
Yep.
Okay.
That's pretty much the easiest way to get a hold of me. We have like a banner and stuff on MP. So, I mean, you can click on that and that will take you to the website and then you hit the contact us. And I don't know, that must have been what you did, Eric.
Yeah.
To get a hold of me the other day. Right, so then me and Keppel both get shot an email off of that, and then he usually doesn't look at them, and then I respond. So that's usually the way that works.
Okay, good.
But yeah, usually email is just the best way. So, I mean, my email is just my name, it's chris.rindles@headhunterreptiles.com is my email. But
excellent.
The website's the easiest way.
Cool. Well, I know I'll talk to you when I start getting my feet wet in the jungles. which we'll figure that out at some point.
Well, if you come to Tinley in March, then we'll work something out.
All right, sounds good to me. I'll be there.
yep.
Okay. I'll be old enough then. I can show you which ones are the stinkers and which ones aren't.
I will definitely want to hear that. So I'm going to need to know. So I guess thanks a lot for coming on, Chris. It was a good talking to you and a good lesson in the jungles for me.
All right, guys. Thank you much.
All right.
Yep.
Thanks, Chris.
Right, good night, Chris.
Yep. Have a good night.
Mm-hmm.
You
too. Okay. That was cool. I enjoy talking about the species I don't own, because then it just makes me want them more, Eric, which, you know, you have everything.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, you wouldn't know my troubles.
I don't know why you think I have everything.
You have? I'm looking. You have everything. I'm not. No, we're not even dignifying that with a response. So
I have strategically planned out my collection. I don't know why you think
shit.
I have everything.
Because you have coastal, RNJ, and jungle. Okay, you got all three. And you know, you probably got in the works for Bradley, and you're in the works for inlands. I know you are, and other stuff. Sneaky.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was actually talking to Nick tonight about the shipment coming over from Paul this year. I got some pretty neat things in there.
When the shipment comes, you're telling me what you got. So
yeah.
You got to tell me everything. I won't let you divulge it now because you probably don't have the list or the manifesto on you right now. You'll have to go get the big list of what's coming to you.
I'll tell you the highlights.
Okay, good.
An albino, visual albino, and male, and a visual exanic female.
Damn it. All right, could you possibly give me the tracking number of this package and when you're going to have it shipped from Nick? Because maybe I'll take the day off and snag it.
Such violence, Owen.
That's a good. What? It's not. No. It's not like I'm threatening to hit you over the head with a pipe. Not yet, at least.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's something that I'm pretty excited about.
Those will be cool. So obviously, with the with those two, you're looking into getting into the snows project.
Yep.
Which is awesome because now I know somebody who can get me with snows. Which is cool.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, even more, I think even more cool than that is I'm trying to get that albino citrus tiger because I'm convinced that that's going to be a super contrast.
Albino.
Albino, yeah. It's going to be a nice albino.
That'll be interesting.
I'm going to try to breed that to a tiger to get tiger's het albino. So.
Damn you. I want tigers. I want albino tigers.
Yeah,
you're not. If you get albino tigers, you're not allowed to show me any pictures. All right?
I won't.
Because then, no, never know. That's not even joking.
You right in.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'd have to sell the car. No. So. All right. So for next week, we're actually going to be on early. Is what I'm looking at here. We're going to be on at 8 p.m. Weird. We have a show with Michael Pennell. All right.
It's your guy.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm done. I know people who are out there who are familiar with Michael Pennell. It's Python and a Pear Tree, and he produces some of the best-looking normal coastals I have ever seen. I have had four Michael Pennells, and they're great contrast in the colors. Right now I have my bright yellow girl, and she's in with my caramel male, so I'm very, very, very happy. So I get to talk with him now. And,
back in 2009, I contacted him about his coastals, and I think his name is, I want to say Ricky H. I think he's on the forum as, but he bought the pair that I wanted, and I see him post them up every once in a while, and I just missed getting them, and I kicked myself because they are gorgeous.
I had my one girl, and unfortunately I lost her, which was devastating to me because she was one of my first carpet pythons. And then I picked up a brother of hers, which I'm like, holy crap. And then, of course, I lost him too, which is I don't know how I kept doing that. And then I picked up another Pennell, and it turned out to be an asshole. And then I got tired of him because he was, you know, I didn't like him. He didn't like me. So I sold him to my friend Jason in New Jersey, so I got rid of him. And then at a couple Hamburg shows ago, this girl was there, and I picked her up, and she's gorgeous, but she hates my guts too. So she's beautiful but nasty, but she's pretty enough that I'll keep her around and deal with the being nasty. So either way, I'm
awesome.
I'm happy now.
Yeah.
Shut me up whenever you want, please. It's fine.
Yeah. Maybe next week I'll let you write some questions. Maybe.
No, that's not a good idea. It's not a good idea at all.
So, Michael Pennell is with us next week, and like I said earlier, some of the highlights of what we got coming in the next year. Blake is coming back. Terry Phillips is coming on. Rico Walder,
awesome.
Will Bird, Anthony Caponetto, Mark Spataro.
Awesome.
I reached out to Paul Harris.
Oh, wow.
Well,
you figured because you paid for the addition on his house that, you know, he'd want to come on and at least do something.
Yeah, I'm hoping he would. Nick tells me he's kind of shy, so maybe we'll get him on. And the other cool thing that I have planned is that we're going to get some Australian guys on.
Cool.
We got to figure out how to do that. But,
you're not
going
to have to be like up at 3 in the morning to do this. So.
Yeah.
I hope you know this.
We might have to record that one.
Yeah. Damn it. All right. But that's always very cool, and I'm excited about the shows. Now, the Pennell show, the show with Michael Pennell, that'll be the last show before we go on the 2-week break, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually,
no.
That might not be correct because I was talking Luke and maybe having Luke come on and we could do a no set thing, but right before the holidays, maybe on the 20th or the 21st, Tuesday or Wednesday, and just do a quick show, a little show.
Sure, why not?
So people
so
people can get their Morelia Python fix.
Fix, right? I know. If I don't do it, I'm pretty sure somebody starts shaking out there. It's horrible. So. Yeah, if we don't have the show, they're all going to go through withdrawal. It's okay, guys. We're here. All right. So, we have the shout-outs here if you want to go through that list, Eric.
Yeah, I will.
Cool.
See, as always, we have the Morelia Python Forum. If you're not a member over there, go over and become a member. So you can go into the chat room and talk about Owen and when you're over
I need to stop reading the chat room because now it's like we're actually going to sing Christmas carols and it's getting ridiculous. So I need to stop reading this. Because I keep coming over here because we're talking to Chris and I'm reading this and Jason says something about he almost beat his pants and it's like I can't not like laugh. So I need to stop reading this before this gets, like, one time during an interview, I'm just going to start laughing, okay? Not doing that anymore. I'm ignoring these people. God.
So, yeah, so if you become a member, you can go over there. You can chat it up with the rest of us and see what's going on. Let's see, what else do we have? We have US ARC. You know, make sure you go, like I said earlier in the show, go over there. Get on their mailing list, become a member. The Morelia Python calendar, of course. Go over and you can pick that up from Kathy on Morelia Python. She goes by Insomniac 101. Send her a PM and she'll be sure to get that out to you. Of course, check us out on Facebook, Morelia Python Radio. Download us on iTunes. Also under Morelia Python Radio, if you have
any suggestions for upcoming shows, questions for any of the guests that are coming on, you can always email me at MoreliaPythonRadio@gmail.com.
And I can be reached. There's me. I can be reached at rogue-reptiles.com. Rogue Reptiles is also on Facebook. You can pop over there and like us. Also, the website will tell you all the goings-ons and the happenings at Rogue. I have to update it, though, because it's out of date. Anyway, I can be contacted with that if you have any suggestions, questions, anything for the show. Definitely get in contact with us, okay?
Okay.
Well, I guess that's it. So I will say goodnight to everybody out there who's listening live or who downloaded us. And I'll say goodnight to you, Eric, and we'll bow out, and I'll see you everybody next week.
Okay. Good night. Don't forget, thanks for Chris from Headhunter Reptiles coming on. Go over, check out his site, and make sure if you want a jungle, either go to him or go to Mo.
No one else will do. Anybody else?
No one else.
Yeah. We're about to get tons of hate mail. Awesome.
So,
do not email me.
So,
email Eric.
That's it. See you next week, and have a good night.
All right, everybody, have a good night.
See you.
Bye.